Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Good morning. It is Wednesday. This is the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are live here in the Kia Studios. Mike, Bo, and Tiff hanging out here with you. Lots of news that we will cover today, from NFL trades to the Super Bowl being right here in our backyard as the owners' meetings went down this week in Atlanta. So lots to get to, but how was the evening?
You know, I've had better evenings. I had to go pick Amy up from the airport, which doesn't make it bad. It was long, and I'm a timer, right? I like to time things out. I don't like to wait. I don't like to do the loop at the airport. So I was trying to time it out perfectly, and I actually did. I got it to a T about as good as you can. But for some reason, she was in the North Terminal. And for some reason, where you pick people up, they have these cones set up to basically not allow you to change lanes right now. And so I went to the far right lane. And I was trying to explain it to Mike, who is just acting ridiculous and won't listen.
Yes, they were having an argument this morning.
Doesn't make sense to me. Sorry. Doesn't
make sense. The airport.
Well, I don't care if it makes sense to you or not. The reality is, if you go all the way to the right to get close to the door, and I want my pregnant wife to not have to walk far and all that kind of stuff.
That's not what the argument was.
And I didn't say that. If you let me finish, Michael, starting to realize what that P is for and know your name.
Finish.
And they have it coned off, right? And you can't switch lanes. So there's a guy in front of me who did not time it out well, Tiff. And so he is refusing to go because he doesn't want to do the loop. So we get to the end of the cones where the cones end. And you can move freely through lanes, and he just stops. He just stops and gives it. And I'm in a truck, obviously, because I'm a man. I drive a truck, and I need enough room to get around him. And he stopped.
Question: are these cones at a diagonal? So, like, you can.
This is exact. Like, thank
no,
you,
they're like, straight. There's they're.
I've never been to an airport, Tiff, where they won't let you out of the far right lane. I've never even. I think he's misunderstanding what the situation was here.
Oh, okay. So I was supposed to run over the freaking cones?
Is that what you want me to do? Just run them over,
Michael?
Have you ever been into an airport pickup where they won't let you out of the far right lane?
I'm telling you, the lanes were coned off.
So what I'm asking is.
Yes.
Did the lanes gradually cone off? So was it going at a slant so that it eventually merged everybody?
It was like the pick and choose rule in NASCAR, where you come up, you choose which lane you're in, and you're in that lane until you get to the very end of the drop off pickup, and then the cones just end abruptly. Okay. They basically put them with the dotted lines of a lane.
So the cones are laid out before you even
get down.
Okay.
You had to pick. And so I picked. I said, I'll go far right. I don't want anybody walking across. Plus, this lane moves slower. I'm okay with that. It gives her time to get out. But this guy didn't time it out right. And
had the same thought.
Yes, but he failed, so he needs to do the loop.
Right.
Okay?
Well,
so when like the cones end... They just end abruptly, so you can just start going, and then you can change lanes to get into 75 North, 85 North, or the South, or if you want to do the loop. Well, he just stops at the end of the cones, and I'm like, oh, I said a lot of words. I laid on the horn, and I was able to maneuver the truck around him, But it's just so inconsiderate. Like, hey, I get it. I know what you're doing. We're all trying to do the same thing. But when you get to the end of the line and we can move freely, you got two choices, dude. Either get out of the damn way or I'm going to move you out of my way.
I just wonder if we've got maybe a listener that works in the North Terminal Airport that can be like, nah, man.
I don't go over to the North.
That wasn't what. Do I?
She's
I
a Delta the North only. Side.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's about.
Well, that's what happens when your company books a flight.
Yeah.
Not mine. Hers.
If I may.
Yeah. I would book it on my own if
no,
I could.
Well, she tried and it was outrageous.
Yeah.
I have one question.
Good.
And Bo, you are absolutely right about the dude should have either done the loop, but there also is the cell phone lot has moved, but there still is a cell phone lot.
Yeah,
you can
but
go
it's
and
not
wait.
It's not at least on the south terminal. It's like not even close. Like they're basically like you need to go to the other side of the airport for the cell phone lot.
No, it's not. It's not that the cell phone lot is not that far from me. The terminal. I was just in the cell phone.
How do you like it when someone disputes what you say, Mike?
You might be right.
You were
just
all I know is
it's not where it used to be.
No, it's not where it used to be. It used to
be a parking deck.
It used to be right next to the south terminal, like literally leading right up to it. But it's a little farther off now. But it's not that far away.
None of that matters.
So Mike does not believe that.
The only thing that matters is this guy was a jerk.
Yes, someone was inconsiderate.
I'm just okay.
Okay. All right.
I don't know, man. I've never heard of this kind of setup. Can't say if it was right or wrong, but
no, Bo is right about the setup. He is right about
why would they do that?
They don't want people going and swerving in between lanes.
They don't thank you. They don't want you
Which
changing
I actually like
lanes.
That setup. I've just never seen it done like that.
I don't mind the setup either. What I mind is morons. That's what I mind. And that
Selfish
guy was
people.
One.
Because most of the traffic in that pickup drop-off is because of people stopping in one lane and swerving in between lanes, and it just causes more congestion than there needs to be.
So I apologize, Tiffany. How was your night?
Well, I bought a Peloton.
Okay.
So there you go.
I'm hoping now we're talking. Change my life. So I don't know if – I'm sure there are probably plenty of people that are listening to the show that ride Peloton. So
I'll be curious to see who your instructor is.
So, well, I actually have a former Georgia Stater an instructor.
Nice.
Matt Wilpers.
Nice.
So he teaches, I think he does, obviously biking, and then he's a really great, distance runner. So he's done marathons, everything. So he coaches that as well.
Nice.
I need to figure, you can take any instructor, right? You don't have to stay with the same one.
No, I mean, but like the further you get into it, the more you kind of like somebody has the right music for you or pushes you
someone.
The right. Yeah, I mean, like, I think is it Kendra, I think, was always a pleasure. There's a number. I mean, there's just some of them are funny. I Pelotoned, obviously, during COVID, because I was coming from coaching and moving around all day, and then I wasn't. And so that was kind of tough. And so my wife had a Peloton. My wife still does like every single night. And then she does the app on the TV sometimes to do the actual moving around workout. So she loves it. So I'm glad you were able to do that, man. That's cool.
That's what I did. So I think it actually gets – they're shipping fast. So I think it actually gets here tomorrow.
Boom. They're like, get this thing in there.
Basically. So we'll see, guys. Maybe I'll be,
triathlete,
smiley in the morning. Well, the goal, because I know some people, friends at WSB were telling me, Allison was telling me some of her colleagues work the morning shift. Someone will actually ride at 1 a.m. before going to do they start at 3 a.m. or whatever it is they start.
What time
they
go to bed?
I don't even want to know what that life's about. Yeah. I'm already, we're already sampling it right now.
Yeah.
So
that's an early bedtime if you're getting up at 1 a.m. to ride the ton.
Mm. Yeah. I'm good. I'll ride in the afternoon.
All right. Well, I know we have a lot of trades. Mike, did you do anything last night?
No, absolutely nothing.
Okay.
Literally absolutely nothing. And I hello to my wife if she's listening, because I don't think I said one word to her yesterday. It was kind of just a high five passing in the hallway.
All right.
Yeah.
Two ships in the night.
Seriously.
This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured, hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Okay, well, lots of trades going down in October in the NFL. Sounds so weird to say, but the big news that came out was Davante Adams is now reuniting with his former Packers teammate and quarterback Aaron Rodgers. So the Raiders received a 2025 conditional third-round pick in the trade, and that pick could improve to a second-round selection. This is what sources told ESPN's Adam Schefter. And if Davante Adams is a first- or second-team All-Pro this season or is on the Jets' active roster for the AFC Championship or the Super Bowl, then, that's when all that stuff could improve the could improve the trade.
I'm curious from a team level who had kind of the final call on this. You know what I mean? Like from any, obviously, you look at general manager, Woody Johnson, obviously he's very heavy-handed and everything going on here. But like from a team football level, like who had the call? You know what I mean? Because obviously Robert Saleh's not there anymore. You're not going to let Jeff Ulbrich make the call. Do they even want to hear Aaron Rodgers has to say, you know, because it's a lot of money long-term? Curious of kind of where that vibe came from in terms of saying, yeah, he fits what we're doing. You know what I mean? Because it just, you're like, okay. And the unfortunate thing is when I hear the news, I just wondered in my head, is Devontae Adams going to be right back in the same situation next year that he was in Vegas this year?
I think he'll be happy there as long as Aaron Rodgers is there.
Well, that's my point.
And I think Aaron Rodgers will be there another year. I think Aaron Rodgers is the one that made the call. I think that's the only person that mattered. You just look at the way things have played. That's not me against Aaron Rodgers. I don't really have an issue with Aaron Rodgers like a lot of people do. He irritates me, and he's a very egocentric human being, but in the reality of the situation is he's now got Garrett Wilson and Devontae Adams, and he wanted Devontae Adams, and he didn't like Mike Williams over there. I don't think him and Mike Williams are working out, and now, boom, that's what you got. They move money around, but they haven't moved the money the next 2 years, which I think is non-guaranteed. One of the years is non-guaranteed, I know. So it's interesting, but Hassan Reddick has now been given permission to get traded, and don't think about it. It's not happening. It's not coming here. I heard John McClain on with Dukes and Bell yesterday, and he said it perfectly. There's a reason why Hassan Reddick bounces from team to team, yet he's being as productive as he is, and he doesn't fit, and I don't know if he fits what they have working here. He fits from a production matter.
No.
There's a reason.
Stop. I mean, look, Amari Cooper's on what, his fifth team? He's pretty productive, too, so you feel the same way about him?
I think it's a little bit different getting traded from Cleveland and getting traded from Philadelphia.
All right, we will digest some more of the trades that have gone on in the NFL on the other side. And we've got to break down this Falcons-Seahawks matchup for you. That's on the other side. We come back on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back here.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here on the morning shift, a whole lot of trades went down in the NFL. We talked about Devontae Adams is now reuniting with Aaron Rodgers, his former Packers teammates, on the Jets. That was via trade. And then for the Bills, they received Amari Cooper and a 2025 sixth-round draft pick for a 2025 third-round pick and a seventh-round selection in 2026. Of course, they got this from the Browns, which is where Amari Cooper was previously playing. So the Bills completed the deal hours after their AFC East rivals, the Jets, got their own with Devontae Adams. And
I love that move for the Bills. I love them for both teams. I think Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers seem to coexist well. I thought it was funny. He was on McAfee yesterday. He just kind of peeks his head in and he's like, hey. I thought it was cool, but I love Amari Cooper as a player. I think he's a guy that just quietly puts up numbers. He went from the Raiders to the Cowboys, and he produced well in Dallas, and they refused to pay him. And then he goes to Cleveland, and he has to put up with Deshaun Watson for a few years, and whatever the garbage output that is. I mean, he had some good times with Joe Flacco, but he still put up numbers, and now he gets to go to play with Josh Allen. I think Josh Allen probably will get a receiver that can put up numbers that doesn't pitch hissy fits on the sidelines. So that's good for him.
Well, they and they had that at least. I'm not calling anybody out, but with this receiver group that they have that I had in week one, they very much felt that way, that this was a group that there wasn't anybody that was going to be maybe blowing up on the sidelines. They all felt very much like they were a tight-knit group, and now they get to add Amari Cooper to the mix.
Yeah, and I'll be curious to see what that relationship's like. I'm with Bo. I don't know why, you know, you don't pay him at certain places, and, you know, now he's on his fourth team. I think if you're Buffalo and you just got out of a situation where the chemistry in the wide receiver room is not great, I think you're very, very careful as, you know, as what moves you're making and the personalities you're bringing in. But evidently they felt comfortable enough that Amari Cooper was the guy. And look, man, I've watched Amari Cooper for a long time. He's a Bama guy. He is an extremely good and decisive route runner and always has been and has a great hands. I don't know, you know, what the top end speed is like at this age, at this point in his career. But man, he's a guy who always seems to be in the right places at the right time, runs good routes, and I think they're going to be somebody. I think he's going to be somebody they can rely on. And let's be honest, man, they needed a one. Khalil Shakir, he's been fine, right? But they needed kind of that guy up there.
And Keon Coleman is still growing,
still learning. Yeah,
I think the biggest thing for Amari is going to be adjusting to Josh Allen and kind of how Josh Allen can, like Patrick Mahomes, like Aaron Rodgers did at one point in his career. Keeps plays alive without running forward, but to kind of look for the receiver. Remember, he did it in the Monday night game.
That's such a good point, because in my head, I'm like, Amari Cooper's going to have to get in good shape, because these plays are going to last twice as long than they ever have in his career. Like, these plays are going to literally last twice as long as they ever had in his career. I hope he's ready for that.
And all it does is create opportunities for you. If you adjust to that,
show
Mike,
me your numbers. Show me your numbers, man.
Creates opportunities for you if you're always looking out for your quarterback, because he's looking out for you. He's looking to throw to you, because Josh Allen loves – there's no doubt he can run and run physically and gain a lot of yards. Yeah. But I think he's at a point where he understands – don't do it. There is a moment to do that, and there's a moment to look for the guy open.
This also from ESPN. The Minnesota Vikings acquired running back Cam Akers for the second time in 12 months, so this time from the Houston Texans in exchange of a 2026 conditional draft choice. The team confirmed yesterday. So the Vikings will send a conditional 2026 6th-round draft pick to the Texans in exchange for a conditional 2026 7th-round draft pick as part of the deal.
Yeah, I think it's just to keep Aaron Jones fresh kind of thing. I don't think it has anything to do with anything other than that. Hey, it's kind of like we've seen here. And I know we're going to get into the Falcons here in a minute, but I was looking at the numbers, guys, for the Seahawks, and our second leading rusher has more yards than their leading rusher. And I think that's pretty interesting. And I think that's kind of the point is you have two guys that can do it, you keep guys fresh.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about it. And you know, to your point, we've had this conversation, and Go Forth and I had this conversation on the post game. It's like everybody's so quick to say, well, Bijan's RB1 or Algier needs to, you know, be RB1. Who cares? Neither one of them are as good without the other one. All right, they both get worn down. You don't want a running back at this point in the year to have 33 carries. And so I think that's one of the things they're trying to avoid up there in Minnesota right now.
And they're so – would you say that Cam Akers in some ways and Aaron Jones are similar in the same in their own likeness as in the same way that Bijan and Tyler Algier have a ton of similarities? So
yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, and when you look at these two teams, you can see how the Seahawks, their running game wasn't as effective last week for them, right? Yeah. But then you had the Falcons who put up 200 rushing yards combined with Algier and Bijan.
Yeah, the running game is just something that it seems like they are opting out of when it comes to Seattle. And we talked a little bit yesterday about the fact that Ryan Grubb is their offensive coordinator. He was a guy that was in Tuscaloosa for like 4 days with Kalen DeBoer and then was like, you know what? It turns out I don't want to recruit. I'd much rather kind of visit the combine, see what I want, kind of pluck the talent from there. And he's been able to get that done. But this offense has been extremely, I think, frustrating for Seattle fans. There seems to be a rift between DK Metcalf and Geno Smith and what is the running game and what do you need out of the running game. The offensive line, I know it's been widely regarded as one of the worst as far as running the ball in the NFL, man. It's just not what they do. So to your point, Tiff, you look at the running game for Seattle and all the questions you have about this defensive line, and what they're bringing to the table for Atlanta, it's like, you know what, this is kind of a good matchup. So hopefully it's maybe a little statistical get-right game for that defensive front.
Yeah, they only had 52 yards combined in their loss to the 49ers, so not good.
Well, and they've got two backs that their usage is very, very close. When you look at Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet, who's on my fantasy team, so if you're going to use anybody, use him.
Sorry to hear that.
Their touches, Kenneth Walker has two more carries and two more receptions and two more touchdowns. And actually, well, just really one more touchdown overall. But it's kind of crazy. 51 carries to 49, 21 receptions to 19. When they were winning games, they started off 3-0. Zach Charbonnet was a huge part of that offense. He's tailed off a little bit the last few weeks. I know because he was on my bench when he was doing it, and then I put him in and he stopped doing anything.
I think that's frustrating.
That's the key to them. Running the football is key. These teams are It is crazy that you're going to see the 27th worst run defense in the league in Seattle and the 25th in Atlanta worst run defense.
So something's got to give.
You go to is Seattle is averaging under 100 yards in the NFL running the football, which is bad in today's league. And the Falcons now they're right around 114, which is still bottom tier in the league.
Didn't that blow your mind for a minute?
Well, I think it does.
After last week.
But you know what? Let's go back to the beginning of the season.
Collect yourself.
Yeah, I was because, like, man, don't get angry at me.
Well, no, I'm saying go back because you weren't
going to be happy.
I am happy. I'm happy because look, you know what our third down conversion rate number is right now?
34.4%.
Okay, since you're looking at it, hey, tough guy, can you tell me what it was going into the Tampa game?
26%.
I told him during
Where's
the break.
Where's that one? No, you didn't. I knew
told
the
you during the
pregame.
Break.
I know what it was because I talked about it in the pregame show.
I told you during the break. So right. The point is that the Falcons' run offense, which going into the Tampa game, they were only averaging 102.8 yards a game. They've added, 11 yards of that in 2 weeks. So yeah. They're possessing the ball more. The offense is moving. It's working more as one unit. The offensive coordinator is doing stuff, Mike, with the run game that we haven't seen before.
Mm.
And now we've got ESPN analysts saying, ooh, look at this.
Yeah. No, I like it too because and I won't try to explain it right now. We talked a little bit about it yesterday, Tiff. The difference between wide zone, mid zone. I know we talked a little bit about it Monday as well. There are just so many intricate details too, and there's layers to what they're trying to do. And we'll talk about it a little bit at the top of the hour and kind of dive into why that's more friendly for a guy like Caleb McGarry to run mid zone than it is wide zone. We'll talk about. Look, man, I don't want to get too deep into the weeds, but second steps. And footwork and everything else that goes along with a little mid zone, a little wraparound, a little cutback, a little lead blocking. There's a lot of things that are friendly to this offensive line about it. So we'll have to get into that at the top of the hour for sure.
This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured, hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Well, a neutral site? Depends on what you think Mercedes-Benz Stadium is when it comes to Georgia and Georgia Tech.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Super Bowl, too.
No.
Oh, yeah, it's a neutral site. Oh, yeah.
Unless the Falcons,
yes.
A couple of years. But anyway, we'll be right back with the college football headlines on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. That was the college football remix for you. So
don't worry, I told Dylan what I thought of him in the talk back.
You did.
That doesn't work. We were talking about this yesterday.
If you're at home and did you explain what it means to the folks driving?
We did yesterday. Okay. Obviously, we have a talk back button where we can talk to Dylan that doesn't go over the air. And since it's not working for the second straight day, I like to talk trash to the producers.
It's a bad.
You weren't telling me how much you love me, Bo?
Yeah,
it's a bad idea for you to do this, and I don't think you realize he can talk to us, right?
Yeah,
and we can hear him, but he can't hear you. So.
Unless you want to call him out
on air. That's my point is, like, he can talk on air. He can defend himself. The bad thing is if we're talking to him, he can't hear us. He's like, I don't care.
No, but we would have to talk crap about him on air, which we would not do.
I look at him and say what I'm saying so he can read my lips, and he knows I'm kidding, but, I mean, you know, the rally cessation
is... I didn't know that the talkback wasn't working, so I was trying to talk to him.
Which threw me off last segment because you're screaming at Dylan, and Dylan can't hear you.
I'm trying to explain to these guys, like, if you're listening out there, these guys are talking, and I'm trying to talk to our producer, and I'm like, Dylan!
She was so salty with him.
I was so mad. I'm like, Dylan! And I'm like, okay, now I'm getting louder. They probably can hear me.
But the reality is, I thought you were screaming at Mike because you start screaming looking...
I wasn't screaming. We were on air.
Well, yeah, I could hear you. Mike starts making all these things, and he's talking to you, and I'm like, hey, man, I'm just trying to, like, break down Seattle's Russian attack. You got to stop yelling at each other.
Can we all just rise up for a minute for
the worst part about all that is that you both stopped talking at the same time. So I was like, Falcons run game, because I was trying to get the producer's attention. Wait, let me start
waving your hands. It's normally for me to shut my mouth.
Let me get to this stuff. All right, we got the number one team in the land, Texas and Georgia, the fifth ranked team, taking on each other this weekend in Austin. And Kirby Smart has seemed to have heard it all when it comes to this matchup. That includes the comparisons going around between Carson Beck and Quinn Ewers.
They're both better athletes than people think. They both have awareness of coverage, and they're really good in the pocket. I mean, this guy's taken off and hurt people running when he needs to, but he also can stand in the pocket and make all the throws and change the protection. So I've really been impressed with him, but that was the case, you know, even last year when I saw him play.
I love it, man, because I think that he has grown a lot. Now, Bo and I had this conversation last week. I don't think it was as easy as a decision for a lot of people to bench Arch Manning because, you know, look, man, he was playing pretty well, and I know that they were playing against some lesser competition. Quinn Ewers comes in, does okay, a little bit of rust. Some of the downfield throws probably want to have back from what I saw. I don't know that he connected on many downfield throws. I think when you look and kind of look at his spray chart, if you will, of what Quinn Ewers did last week, a lot of short throws, relying on, you know, mesh routes, things like that, players out in the open. But that's what you do at a place like Texas, right? Can't complete the deep stuff. Give it to somebody else and allow them to make a move and kind of hit some home runs. So I thought he played within the scheme. Thought he played with what he was able to do. And Texas and Steve Sarkisian continue to do things differently.
I've got a Quinn Ewers stat for you, which makes you your head scratch a little bit. But then I think you realize why Quinn Ewers is easily the starter there. When he has a clean pocket, he's averaging five and a half yards of average depth of the target, right? So he's throwing the ball about 5.5 yards down the field, and he's getting the ball out within right around 2 seconds. That's with a clean pocket, 70.1.9 passer grade. When he is pressured, his passing grade goes up to a 78. He's averaging 10 yards of depth for the target, so he's throwing the ball 10 yards or more down the field. And he's buying himself an extra second and a half when he is pressured. So what I would say that is Quinn Ewers does a really good job of keeping plays alive and creating plays down the field with his arm and not just taking off. And that's one thing I can think of. What do you think? You disagree?
It's just frustrating when you just think of, man, those guys must be so good at picking up blitzes, you know, stepping up, you know, allowing Quinn Ewers the time to step up in the pocket.
It's all Quinn Ewers.
And this guy hits me. This guy hits me with the
Quinn Ewers.
He's buying himself. He's buying himself an extra couple of seconds. Sure. Yeah. He's stiff-arming and rolling out. Yeah, sure. He has great blocking in front of him, and it takes all of them, man. I know that you think that you'd stiff-arm and roll out of the pocket, but you wouldn't.
That's not what I said. I said he's able to step up in the pocket, does a good job of it. He's able to move around, stay accurate, keep his eyes downfield, and make the big plays happen instead of just abandoning the pocket that's collapsing around him.
Yeah, you know,
the offensive line
honestly,
play.
On a serious note, and I know we're going to move on, I hear him say, I dare you. I dare you to freaking blitz me. I dare you to blitz me. I will tear you apart. That's a Steve Sarkisian thing, too, by the way. Ding.
You can't ding your own self.
That is going to be missing in this matchup this weekend between Georgia and Texas is the Bulldogs, his all-SEC linebacker, Smile Mundon, is going to be out for this game. This is according to CBS Sports. He has missed Georgia's last two games with a foot injury, and there is currently no timetable for his return. So this is one of the biggest games in college football, you know, of the season so far. C- could be one of the biggest ones of the year, but it's a tough break for them to be without their linebacker.
I don't think this is anything new for Georgia fans, unfortunately. They've been dealing with injuries throughout the season on both sides of the ball. And, you know, obviously we've kind of talked about it. And, you know, Texas has had a little bit better luck, obviously, other than the running back spot, which they've lost a number of guys there. But when you look at this defense, man, it seems like at every level they're just dealing with something that just they're having trouble overcoming it, to be honest with you. We talk so much about Georgia and their defense and the questions. Like, dude, man, the depth is being tested right now.
Well, and I don't think it's quite to the level it's been in the past. I mean, I know that it's fun to brag about recruiting titles and where you rank every year, but the development's a big part of it. And I don't know, they've lost a lot of guys over the last couple of years, especially up front. I don't know if they've had guys step up to quite that level yet. On the other side, though, Texas up front, to your point, Mike, on the offensive line and the defensive line, they look like the team that Georgia was a couple years ago.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to some of these bigger matchups of the weekend. Just wanted to highlight the team in our backyard, which is Georgia Tech. They are taking on the 12th-ranked team in Notre Dame on Saturday.
I got to be honest, I don't like the fact that this game's at Mercedes-Benz. I don't like it. I think that it just allows Notre Dame fans to kind of come in and overtake. Man, put that thing in Bobby Dodd and let them fans take over. Let them take over. I don't want it to be at the Benz, but oh well, should be a cool atmosphere.
Yeah, look, you know what? Go support your team wherever they're at. And I would rather see the backdrop of what Atlanta is at Bobby Dodd, just because I think it's a special environment the way it looks. Reality situation is so is Mercedes-Benz. This is a huge. This could be the biggest game to this point of the Brent Key era. This could be the biggest game, because if you win this game, you go to 6-2. And I think you just established that you can go compete with big boys. Also, if you're a Georgia fan, you probably want Notre Dame to lose this game.
Georgia State, by the way, on the road, taking on Marshall. Tennessee and Bama, woo! Crimson Tide on the road.
Yeah,
in Knoxville.
I'm nervous, man.
You should be.
Just another ho-hum matchup. I mean, it's not these two. There's no
rivalry. Loves
there's,
me down,
there's nothing. There's
no,
nothing
just,
big
just,
about
just,
this
I'm
game,
just
right?
Being real.
There's no rivalry here. There's just,
right,
just another.
Yeah. Wait till that fog falls over the stadium. Either way,
I'm
on
just
Saturday.
Kidding.
That's tough place
the
to Stogies. Play. It's a tough place to play.
It is. I've been there a couple times and. They bring it, man, and they definitely will, you know, this coming weekend, man. So that'll be a fun matchup. No Bama fans are nervous. Tennessee not playing extremely well either. So we'll see what happens.
I just said it was the biggest game of the Brent Key era. This could be the biggest game of early of the Kalen DeBoer era, because the Georgia game's nice, but it's a distant pass right now for Bama fans. Right, Mike?
How do the Falcons match up with the Seahawks? We'll tell you and cackle, I guess, apparently on the way out. Bo.
Sounds like Halloween in here.
It really does. We'll be right back on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.